Well, good morning, church family. This is not how I anticipated speaking with you this morning, but here we are in my garage. Everything that was outside now inside. Plants, the barbecue, it's all been brought in because of the storm that's approaching. I hope that however you hear this message, whenever you see it, that you know the peace and the hope of Jesus. There's a line from scripture that I'll shortly speak to in a moment. And I just want to speak over us now at the beginning, and that's this scripture here. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In him all things hold together. What a promise that is for us in this moment. Maybe before we go any further, you might just take a moment to pray something simple like this. Jesus, thank you that right now we are held by you, that we can have confidence in who you are. And last week we kicked off our series in Colossians on Resurrection Sunday with this awesome reminder that because of all that Jesus has done, we are brought out of darkness and into the light. Not just forgiven, but relocated, brought into a whole new reality, a new identity, a new way of living, a new place to belong. But if you're listening this morning as a cyclone approaches us with, you know, a fair bit of uncertainty all around us, plans disrupted and everyone feeling a little bit uneasy, then perhaps our questions, they shift slightly, don't they? Not just what has Jesus done, but also who is this Jesus when life feels unstable? As we sit with all that's going on around us, who is this man who walked 2,000 years ago? Paul answers this question in Colossians 1, verse 15 to 23, which you read with me. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What an incredible few verses. At the moment, we're advertising for two admin roles, and I would have spoken about that further this morning, but that can wait. That's all good. But why is that important now? Well, already, a few days into the process, there's actually quite a few that have expressed interest already. Praise the Lord. And so one of the first things that you do in the job application process is you ask for a CV, right? Lists of all the things that describe someone or what they've done or their experiences, past employment. A good CV gives you a bit of a picture of who someone is before you've even met them. I remember sending mine to the call team a few years ago now. It's crazy to think it's almost 3 years. And trying to put words onto paper about who I was is actually quite a difficult exercise. Well, in a way, Paul lays out for us in these verses who Jesus is. Almost like his CV. A declaration of who Jesus is. A picture of his identity. And it's not a short list, and nor is it modest. It's expansive. It's cosmic. Paul stacks up phrase after phrase, helping us to see Jesus from every angle. And within these, Paul's doing something really clever, actually. He keeps circling around this idea of Jesus being the head. But he uses this word in different ways, each adding another layer to who Jesus is. Well, first, he calls Jesus the firstborn over all creation. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus was created. The Son, the second person of the Trinity, has existed eternally. No, instead, this title is a statement of position and authority. In the ancient world, the firstborn was the person who held the inheritance, the status, the leadership. Paul is saying that Jesus stands over creation with that kind of authority. He's not part of it or just part of it. He's over it. And then Paul says that Jesus, he is before all things. In other words, there is nothing, nothing, no power, no authority, nothing that is visible or invisible, not even a cyclone, that sits above him or alongside him. Jesus isn't competing for first place. He is first. He alone is supreme. Paul also says that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And here the image shifts slightly. This isn't just about authority, but it's about connection and life. Just as a body is directed and sustained by the head, so the church finds its direction, its unity, and its life in the person of Jesus. We don't exist independently. We are connected to him, dependent on him. Even in the context when we're not able to gather together this morning, perhaps more so, Jesus is the one that holds us together, who sustains us by his Spirit. Jesus is our leader. And then finally, Paul calls him the beginning, the starting point of something new. Not just the origin of creation, but the beginning of new creation through his resurrection. Jesus is the first to rise from the dead, the first of what is to come, the one who leads the way into new life. And as we saw last week, who also leads us into that new life. Each of these phrases, each of these lists on the CV, another layer, another window into who Jesus is. Not just a teacher, not just a historical figure, but the one who stands at the center of everything, the center of all creation. And so if this is who Jesus is, if this is his CV, then there are a few things that we can begin to see more clearly. Well, firstly, by looking at Jesus, we discover who God truly is. Paul says the Son is the image of the invisible God. Jesus, the Son, is the one who reveals what God is like. Jesus comes to earth and demonstrates what God's nearness looks like. And that word image is really important. Paul describes him using the Greek word icon. A word that echoes all the way back through to the beginning of Scripture in the Garden of Eden. We're told that humanity are to be icons, image bearers of God, to reflect him, to represent him to the world. But we know the story. We don't always reflect God as we were made to. We fall short of that calling time and time again, don't we? And that's the story of humanity. And so Jesus comes as the true image, the true icon, the one who perfectly reveals the Father, the one who truly reflects who God is. If we want to see God, we don't have to guess. We look at Jesus. You want your neighbors to know what God is like? We don't point them to an idea or a concept. We have to point them to Jesus. The second thing that we can know is that because of Jesus' death and resurrection, that Jesus holds the old and the new together. Paul says it's through him and for him that the whole creation was made. Creation itself is not an accident or something to escape from, as much as we might want to escape from this incoming cyclone. Paul says that all of creation has its origin and purpose in Jesus. There's beauty and goodness and meaning in our world and all of creation. But Paul also says that it's through Jesus, through his death and his resurrection, that God is at work reconciling all things, healing what's broken, restoring all that's been fractured. And in this poem, the view is pretty cosmic. All things being redeemed in the person of Jesus. N.T. Wright says, the Jesus through whom the world was made in the first place is the same Jesus through whom the world has now been redeemed. He is the firstborn of all creation and the firstborn from the dead. Creation and new creation meet in the person of Jesus. And the last thing that we can know from this poem is that Jesus is the blueprint for us, for what is offered for us in the gospel. He's the one in whom we're invited to find the fullness of life. What does it mean to be truly human? We look to Jesus. He's not only the one who saves us, but the one who shows us what the fullness of life looks like. What does it mean to be fully human? What does it mean to live a life shaped and orientated fully towards God? We find that answer in the person of Jesus. And this poem is making the bold claim, actually, that that life, the fullness of life, can only be truly found in the person of Jesus. What an awesome picture. When you step back and take it all in, it's almost overwhelming, isn't it? This isn't a small view of Jesus. This isn't a helpful teacher or an inspiring figure from history. This is Jesus as the one through whom all things were made, the one who holds all things together, the one whom God's fullness dwells, the one who is reconciling all things to himself. It's big. It's expansive. It stretches our imaginations, doesn't it? And maybe the question that naturally follows then is, well, where do I fit into all of this? Because it's one thing to say that Jesus is at the center of everything, but what does that mean for me, for my life, for my story, for my reality right now? Well, Paul doesn't leave us trying to work that out, or he doesn't leave us guessing. He shifts from this cosmic view of who Jesus is and then brings it right down to earth, to how it looks for us. It's almost like one of those maps in the shopping mall, right? Like, you are here, Paul says. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, establish and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This same Jesus, the one over all creation, the one holding everything together, this Jesus has acted for you and has acted for me. Once you were distant, once I was distant, once you were cut off, once you were living outside of that relationship with God. But now, Paul says, now you have been reconciled, brought near, made whole, restored into relationship. And notice how personal this is. Paul isn't just talking about the whole world in general anymore. He's not talking about the whole of creation. He's talking about you, your story, your relationship with God. The one who holds the universe together has made a way for you to be brought close. And so, to return to where we find ourselves today, as we sit in the middle of uncertainty, as plans are disrupted, as questions linger about what's coming in the next few hours or days, we come back to this truth. Jesus is not distant from his creation. He has not stepped back. He's not uninvolved. He is the one who continues to sustain it. In him, all things hold together. That includes this moment, and that includes you. And at the same time, God is not just holding things together. He is making all things new. The new work of creation, of new creation, has already begun through Jesus. Which means that even in the storms, even in the chaos, even in the uncertainty that we find ourselves navigating, God is still at work, quietly, faithfully, steadily. And there's a difference, isn't there, between feeling unstable and actually being held. We may feel unsettled, we may feel unsure. But beneath all that, there is a deeper reality that our lives are held by Christ, who holds all things. The one who holds the universe together is holding you. So let's just take a moment to pray here. God, we thank you that you do hold all things. What a joy it is to know that you hold us. You hold all of creation. You hold our circumstances. You hold our minds. You hold our hearts. And so, Lord, help us to know that sense of being held right now. Whatever we're navigating or feeling, God, help us to trust in you. God, we acknowledge your goodness to us, your faithfulness to us. And Lord, in the whatever lies ahead, God, we just trust in you. We place our trust in you, the one who holds all things. And whatever the next few hours hold, God, we trust you. Help us to love our neighbors well. Help us to point those around us to you, Jesus, that they might know your reconciling power and what you have done for them. And God, we pray for our families, for the vulnerable at the moment, those that are feeling isolated. God, draw near to them. They know your presence and your peace with them at this moment. We pray over our town of Te Puke, and we pray over our nation. God, would you have your hand of protection over us? Thank you for who you are. Amen.